I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello. Happy Monday. It's a beautiful one. We just came off of a crazy Pride weekend here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we did.
Ryan.
It was actually in West Hollywood, but yeah, Los
yeah,
Angeles.
I was going to say, like, West Hollywood in California, in L.A., to be specific.
Do you know where you are? Are you lost?
Give me the coordinates.
She needs like an air tag just to find herself again.
Ryan here hosted the stage there and all the programming on Twitch for Out Loud Raising Voices. How was it, Ryan?
Woo!
Oh, God, your voice. You sound like you...
That's exactly how it was.
You've smoked a ton of cigarettes.
No,
been screaming over music.
Relax. No, it was absolutely an incredible time. There was so much queerness. There were so many people from the community there. So much great music. The talent was next level. I mean, Jessie J. We had Lil' Kim. We had Marina. We had Saucy Santana. Cupcake. We had Muna. We had Years and Years. I mean, the list went on and on with the talent that was there. And I am just so excited. Also, the parade.
That was really
absolutely
cool.
Fabulous. Channel Q, we walked as a family together. I mean, I didn't walk. I rode into the truck because I ain't walking. I didn't want to get musty. But
I got musty for you.
You sure did. I smelled it.
Rude.
No, but it was just absolutely wonderful to see so many people out in West Hollywood celebrating the first ever West Hollywood Pride. It was just a beautiful moment. I really, really enjoyed it. It was quite iconic.
And the first one in person in a long time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we're back at it. You know, we have shifted. I mean, the COVID is still here. The pandemic is still here.
Let's be clear.
But we're shifting towards a brighter future.
Yeah.
And we're shifting towards safety. We're shifting towards being able to just, you know, hang out with our community again. And it makes us very happy. It made me very happy.
Yeah,
what a beautiful weekend.
I must say, as an ally, I had a lot of fun.
Did you have to announce that you were an ally? Is that just something that you
walked
into the room
doing? I feel like if I just
doing?
Said, if I had a lot of fun.
Knock. I'm an ally.
Who's there? Actually, I'm an accomplice, okay? I don't use the word ally. No, here's the thing. I think that we do a lot of work every day for the community, and it's not always fun. It could be really depressing, as we know. And so it's nice to be in spaces where we get to celebrate everyone and each other. Like, that's for sure. That was what was fun. And anytime I get to bring out my moves and just bop and, like, jump around, I'm good.
Yeah, and next hour, I want to talk about the first thing that I ever did this weekend as well.
The first thing?
The first thing. It's literally the first thing I've never done.
You broke your virginity on something.
I mean, honestly, that was a long time ago.
Okay. All right. Stick around for that. That's Ryan's tease. Coming up at 3:25 p.m. Pacific, 6:25 p.m. Eastern, we're talking about global LGBTQ rights right now, where we stand from the U.S. side in terms of supporting that with the Washington Blade. Plus, in 30 minutes, California primaries are here. What you need to know with Drexel Hurd, Democratic strategist. Let's get into some what's trending this hour, though, right now. According to NBC News, the first weekend of June had a greater number of mass shooting deaths in the U.S. than the previous three-day weekend, which ended with Memorial Day. The tally for weekend violence through Sunday night was at least 12 killed, 38 injured in shootings, defined by the Gun Violence Archive as an incident where, quote, four or more people are shot or killed, not including the shooter. Now, this is just horrific that this
really
is becoming
sad.
A headline and this news is coming out. Here is Chattanooga, Tennessee Mayor Tim Kelly asking for federal support.
I'm a gun owner. I've been a hunter since I was a child. This is not something that, you know, I'm not trying to take away anybody's Second Amendment rights, but I think we can agree that there are common sense approaches here. There are really three parties in the United States, Republicans, Democrats, and mayors. So we will do, as mayors, what we have to do to keep our people safe, but we could sure use some help at the federal level.
Interesting.
Get your Senate
in
check then, you know?
Well, I've never heard that there's three parties, Democrats, Republicans, and mayors. Whatever. I've never heard that. That's actually quite interesting. I would love to, maybe I'll bring that up next time because I've never heard that. That's interesting.
And we are talking.
Because, I mean, mayors are,
yes.
They are the hearts of a lot of, like, you know, cities. And,
of course.
And I think it's really interesting to hear it explained in that way, yeah. Tim Kelly.
You know, we are talking to Brady United, a nonprofit that advocates for gun control. So stick around for that in 15 minutes. We'll ask that question. That was some What's Trending This Hour. What's happening in entertainment news?
All right, let's talk Lil Nas X because he was quite busy over the weekend calling out the BET Awards for offering him an outstanding zero nominations for the BET Awards. It's time for the T-Report. Those pop culture stories trending right now. You know, I kind of like my voice like this when it doesn't go in and out, like I'm like hitting puberty. It's kind of sex. I bet you're still wondering what my gender is. Anyway, in a series of since-deleted tweets posted on Wednesday, the rapper called out the annual awards show for not nominating him at the 2022 ceremony. He said, "Thank you, BET Awards, and outstanding zero nominations again." And he wrote his first tweet, adding a sarcastic black excellence. You know, he's being sarcastic here, but I think it's something to be said about the fact that he's at the top of his field. He's at the top of his game. Yes, he's a pop artist, but he's also a hip hop artist. And
yeah.
Him not being recognized by our own community, it is a problem. And it probably speaks to a lot of internalized homophobia and not understanding, you know, it's the Dave Chappelle effect, not understanding intersectionality. And so it's quite annoying that he's going through that. I know Queen Latifah spoke out in support of this as well, in the sense of saying, yeah, Lil Nas X should have been nominated. He is the top right now. He has Call Me By Your Name, Montero, slayed numbers. It broke records. It did so many incredible things. And so the fact that he was not nominated is an issue. Some commenters took issue with Lil Nas X's tweet asking him why he felt he should have been nominated, then prompting him to offer them some quick highlight insights. He says, "I don't know, maybe three of the biggest songs of last year,
right.
A critically acclaimed album. I feel like that should have helped me a bit." And they were like, you know, the commentator said, well, his last few records were hip-hop, and he clapped back saying, well, they have a pop category. So if the BET Awards has a pop category, what's the issue?
And if anything, wouldn't even BET just like also just want him to be there as the top black performer out there right now? Like,
no,
just even to present or perform.
That's the thing. Homophobia is real. It even, you know, seeps its way into your community, even the marginalized communities, you know? Marginalized communities do have the ability of marginalizing other communities. And so that's your team report. We got more coming up next hour. Stick around for that.
Okay, after this, Brady United Against Gun Violence joins us to discuss where we could land on gun reform, considering the latest news after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
As we mentioned earlier, according to NBC News, the first weekend of June had a bigger amount of mass shooting deaths in the U.S. than Memorial Day weekend. And advocates forever have been calling for federal laws to change and address the nation's gun violence crisis. And one of them is Brady United Against Violence. Tanya Shart joins us right now, Senior Counsel and Director of Policy at Brady United, to share more. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when you see these numbers come out, what do you think? Have we seen this in the past, or is it that we're more aware of all of this happening now?
Unfortunately, this is pretty typical, in particular in summer months. I certainly think there's a greater awareness right now, given just the two very tragic incidents last month in Buffalo and Uvalde. So I think people are paying more close attention. But it is very typical in the summer to see, you know, numerous mass shooting events in communities all over the country. So to know that 12 people were killed and at least 38 injured in mass shootings this past weekend is It's horrific. It's appalling, but unfortunately, it's not an anomaly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It feels like, and we were speaking about this off of air, but Uvalde really did shift something, I feel like. It feels like there was a major shift in the ways that we're seeing mass shootings being talked about on the media, especially us finding out about Chattanooga, especially us finding out about Pennsylvania. It doesn't seem like those would have necessarily been something it would have been national news before Uvalde. Is that a pro or a con when it comes to media reporting on this? Are they just kind of capitalizing off of, unfortunately, like the news cycle of mass shootings? What are your thoughts?
First of all, I think that's absolutely accurate. I think, again, these are happening all the time. And it's just because gun violence is so prevalent in this country, those types of shootings don't make the news the same way that these other kind of public mass shootings do. I think Uvalde has changed something. I think, you know, we saw similar kind of reactions after Sandy Hook and obviously the Parkland shooting as well. But it does feel different this time. And I, you know, as we're doing work, as we're pushing for change in this moment, you know, there are moments where I feel almost guilty that we're seeing some progress right now because it's for the worst possible reason. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think the best way to honor people who have been subject to gun violence and in particular these most recent shootings is to call for change, is to lift it up, is to make sure people are talking about it, is to get loud about it. So I want everyone to know that these mass shooting events are occurring regularly. I want everyone to realize that community violence is occurring regularly, that, you know, on average, 110 people in this country are dying from gun violence every single day. It's hard to face those numbers, but the more that people are being faced with that and are asked to make change, I think the more likely we are to see change.
Are we seeing Republicans finally kind of see a difference between protecting their rights as like a hunter gun holder, like, you know, if you're a responsible person versus, you know, making sure that guns are out of the hands of irresponsible people? Are we finally seeing maybe a shift in that conversation?
No one needs AR-15, even if you're responsible or not. So let's be
like, meaning, do you see more Republicans now coming to the other side? Do you think that will make a difference?
I do. I'm hopeful, at least. I know that there are conversations happening in Congress. I know that even in state legislatures, you know, we've seen some Republican legislators take votes in support of bills where they wouldn't have before. In California, there was a vote on a ghost gun bill the day after the Uvalde shooting, and it went unopposed. Typically, they would have opposed all of those bills. So I'm hopeful. I've seen just some, you know, stories about gun owners turning in their AR or saying enough is enough. So again, we always wondered what was going to be the tipping point. I think a lot of people were shocked that it wasn't Sandy Hook. But here we are again with another, you know, 19 children shot and killed in schools. And it may well be that this is finally the tipping point. But
yeah,
until we actually see congressional Republicans, you know, pass or be willing to pass something meaningful, it's hard to say for sure.
So talk to us a little bit about what Brady United really does in these moments, because obviously it feels like you all are working overtime to really have people understand the necessity of making sure that there's gun reform happening. And even how you're tying it to the work that you're doing, that the Supreme Court could really deliver a decision in an NRA-backed lawsuit that's currently going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Brady, we work in Congress, courts, and communities. My role is in Congress, meaning we work in Congress and then in state legislatures. And, you know, what we are working on is moving forward common sense, you know, data-backed gun violence prevention policies. You know, this is a wide variety from background checks to ghost gun bills to supply-side bills that targets the industry to make sure that they're engaging in responsible business practices. And, you know, following this, we've seen some, like, very, you know, positive movement in state legislatures, including in New York. The governor signed 10 bills today. The governor in California has asked for all the gun violence prevention bills to make it to his desk by the end of the month. So we continue to work on all of those to educate, to support. And then, you know, we're doing the same thing in Congress. You know, the House moved and the committee moved the Protecting Our Kids Act. You know, we're hoping that there will be a vote on that this week. There's going to be a hearing in the Oversight Committee on the House side. And then, you know, again, we continue to work with our grassroots to activate our grassroots to call on the Senate to take strong action as well, because the House can do all these things. But unless we can get 60 votes in the Senate, we're not going to be able to move anything.
And mayors can't do anything. We just spoke about a mayor who wanted help.
I
No, you know, we work a lot in the states. We also do local ordinances. It certainly depends on the state that you're in. Unfortunately, some states have restricted localities from passing gun laws. So it really depends on where you are. But, in a lot of states, there's a real opportunity for cities to do what they can. But at the end of the day, you're still at the mercy of kind of the surrounding cities and the states. Unfortunately.
Well, Tanya Sharp, thank you again. Tanya, Senior Counsel and Director of Policy at Brady United. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, what's coming up next, Ryan?
All right, so guess what, California voters? It's time to get clued in to the primary elections that are taking place and starting right now. Who should you be focused on? What to know? Coming up next, don't go anywhere.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Okay, the California primaries are happening right now, actually. Well, tomorrow. Have you registered to vote, and have you done all that?
Yeah, of course. Luckily, when I decided to move, I had to update my registration and get all that new information there so I can get all the information right over to the right address. But I was starting to get information about, what are they called? The people who are running?
Candidates.
Candidates, that's the word. Child, whatever. I was getting information about them, like, I feel like, for months now at this point, you know? And I still need to do a deep dive into who I need to, like, really be watching. And I've been seeing some conversation online about some folks who I'm not fans of from what I'm seeing. But I also want to form my own opinion, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, Governor Gavin Newsom is up for re-election for his second and final term after beating a recall attempt last year. Californians will also pick candidates for lieutenant governor, treasurer, attorney general, and secretary of the state. State assembly seats and even number state Senate districts are on the ballot as well. There's a lot of stuff, and I'm assuming not everyone knows everything that they want to do or vote for.
Well, a lot of people don't ever look down ballot, you know?
Yep.
And that's the problem. And I think when we're talking about all the things that are happening when it comes to abortion rights, when it comes to LGBTQ+ rights, we really have to be focused on the people in our local communities, because if we're not focused and zoned in on them, those are the folks who are actually making these subtle changes that are impacting your kids' lives, that are impacting the queer folks in your lives, the trans folks in your lives, like all of these people in your lives that you're just thinking like, oh, who's this person I'm going to vote for? Well, okay, cool. I'll just vote for it because everyone else is voting for. But no, guess what? You end up finding out that a lot of these people are just not actually there.
Okay, yeah. Well, then also the marquee race happening right now in LA is for the successor to Mayor Eric Garcetti, which everyone's wondering, is it going to be Rick Caruso, you know, the billionaire developer, and there's also progressive U.S. Representative Karen Bass. They're front runners in the polls.
Well, it's the crazy thing. So I've been, every time I'm watching Good Morning America, I'm assuming it's now Rick Caruso, but whoever it is, child, they be dragging the mess out of Karen Bass, talking about she missed like 525, you know, votes and how they were important, and there were votes to like impact the community or like stop violence and things like that. And obviously Rick Caruso has been the celebrity endorsed person. Kim Kardashian has been all over social media. She actually endorsed him. And they've had a pretty long conversation, according to her, where she feels that he is the right choice. My only thing is,
what is your take?
I'm just not necessarily for sure about that. I'm always a little weary, if I'm being quite honest, when I start to see like celebrities and I start to see a lot of people kind of jump on a train where I'm like, oh, okay, what money pocket is he in? Why are all these celebrities now kind of okay with this being their choice? And also, I don't really believe that celebrities can shift of like voters' minds. Like, this isn't 2008. This isn't when like Obama was running for president and every person in media was like signing on to Obama, right? It was just a little strange to me to see Kim Kardashian actually really, especially in all the work that she's doing. And I know like she's supposed to be like, you know, she helps folks get out of jail and prison and things like that. But I think when you learn more about Rick Caruso's political career, it feels like it's not even aligned with the things that she actually wants to do. And so I'm just unsure. And so I never take the word of a celebrity when they're talking about endorsing someone.
Well, if you're thinking about, well, listen, you're talking about
happening.
LA, right? So inevitably the people that have big names in LA, whereas other, you know, other cities, it will be someone who probably is influential in some way or has money, right? Is an industry, you know, maybe in, they're a certain industry and leader, but you're talking about LA, it's going to be celebrities.
Can I actually play the video of Kim Kardashian?
Let's do it.
It's actually so annoying. It actually kind of irritates me.
I've been a hunter.
I'm got it in a minute.
Yeah, she wasn't talking about gun ownership.
No, she, I mean, could she though? She might.
She does.
You know, she's a lawyer now. She passed the bar.
I'm impressed. I've been watching the Kardashians.
Hey guys, so I recently met with Rick Caruso, who was running for mayor in Los Angeles. And I don't typically endorse anyone in politics because I just really have never been about the politics. But when it comes to my hometown and I feel like there's people that can really make a difference, I recently spoke out about Henry Stern, who is a senator in my area in Calabasas. And I know the election's coming up, and I just wanted to share my thoughts on Rick Caruso. I think that he...
I just don't know. It just does not feel interesting. Like, it just feels like, you know...
Be more clear about
Elon
why
Musk.
I should care.
Here's the thing. Elon Musk also endorsed Rick Caruso. If that doesn't feel like the four apocalypse, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse or whatever it is, that does not feel okay for me.
So who
it doesn't feel okay for
me. Yeah, I mean, that maybe I am questionable of who Elon Musk endorsed.
So I like to do my own kind of deep dive into these candidates, find out who's the appropriate candidate.
Of course.
And if when I'm thinking about even Karen Bass, you know, she is a black woman who's been in politics for most of her career. Mm-hmm. She's been a leader in the community. She's a California owned. She did have that one moment where she kind of endorsed Scientology when she like was.
That
she,
was a
she
long did, time ago.
I know, but
everyone
still, you know, I still, girl,
LA.
Once you're in Scientology, you in it. So I'm always going to look at you a little strange, you know? But I, at the end of the day, just make the right choice for yourself, because I think if you are here in California, the primaries are so important. And, yeah, think about it. Hopefully the GOP will not win big during these elections.
Yeah.
Please.
All right. So coming up, what one conservative candidate did to take Pride books from actually libraries, okay? Because this is getting crazy what these folks are trying to do next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
You know, the GOP is doing so much to get any LGBTQ books out of libraries, right, in schools. Well, check out what this conservative candidate recently did. Heather Fletcher, who is working for Maryland, Frederick County Board of Education in Maryland. She recently checked out 20 books from a Pride Month display at the public library to protect children's innocence. She also took a library cup of full of pronoun pins. How dare she? I feel like it's one of those things like...
Wait, there were pins that had the pronouns
on
them?
Yeah. Like, so people could put, these are my pronouns.
She is hateful.
She's evil.
I bet you her cookies come out stale and crunchy.
I mean, it's like, what do you think her household is like? Like, it's like
dark.
The worst.
If you think about Trunchable from Matilda, she has her own personal chokey. That's where she threw those pins. Those are the nails that come in. So she throws little kids in there and tells them to eat this awful armpit chocolate cake that she created.
She says she felt disturbed that her three kids or other children might see the word queer on a book and then asked age-inappropriate questions.
I don't... What's the most inappropriate question you think could come from that?
Well, that's the problem.
I'm wondering.
No, nothing. I don't know, because all they're saying is like, here's how do you feel? How do you want people to identify you as? Like, what do you think about two same-sex parents? Like, these are just normal things that...
Are just two people who love each other.
Exactly. I mean, the biggest issue I have with all of this is that a lot of times you have an issue because you're not around anyone like this. So you don't need to have the conversations with your kids, right? So it is weird and worrisome and scary for you to have these conversations with your kids. The extremes happening to get these things out of
people's
hands.
Someone should just take those pins and throw them at her.
I mean, there's a place in the afterlife for all these people. But yeah, we got to do more to protect kids in these libraries as well. Next up, how one tech brand wants to help you leave your abusive relationship. The big announcement that happened today after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Yes, thanks for hanging out with us today. It's Shira and Ryan. We're here in the studio together. Hope you're enjoying this great music on Channel Q and more coming up.
Yep, real quick. Mm-hmm. Didn't I tease something?
What?
You don't remember?
I have a short-term memory.
It's crack. That's what it is. That's her short-term reason. Your short-term memory is because it's crack. Crack is whack, Shira. That's what Whitney Houston said. Rest in peace. Anyway, so real quick, I got to talk about the first thing I ever did.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
I didn't know if it was going to be now or later in the show.
No, I said at the 3 p.m. hour. I teased
it. Got it.
Were you there?
Yep.
I sometimes feel like I deal with like a doppelganger of Shira. Like it's like I'm...
Ryan,
I don't know
just
I'm
share your story.
Okay.
Oh God.
So I also got to do a really cool thing this weekend besides hosting We Hope Ryan.
What?
I got to like walk a red carpet.
Oh, yes. Okay, you reveal. I know what you're talking about.
I got to rock a red carpet at the MTV Movie and TV
O-M-G.
Awards.
OMG.
And guess what?
What?
I was on USA Today's entertainment, like, style list.
Do they pick you as...
And I was on E! Online.
Do they pick you as best dressed?
Well, it wasn't like a best dressed thing. It was just like everyone on the carpet. And I was in the lineup.
But
with
still,
like alongside
that's
everyone else. I know that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the
cool.
Googler for.
Yeah. Let me look. I'm going to Google. You also got that custom made, so they must be happy.
I mean, I know, right? I got this cool amount of press.
That's
anyway,
why you got to just, you know,
it was fun.
Focus on your outfit because then you could end
even
up like that.
I Googled my name, which you should never probably do. Someone did put me on their worst dress list.
No, they did not.
He did.
What?
He called me tacky.
Oh, shuts.
But also, Lisa Rinna from Housewives was on there, too. So clearly he has bad taste. Just say you don't get the vision.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I can't wait for you to have a reality show so you can call all these people out. Watch out. You're
no,
on
it's fine.
Ryan's list.
He was cute, though. I would date him.
Okay.
Toxic it might be, but he was cute. He could call me tacky in my face. I'd still be like,
yeah.
Take me out of the date.
Call him out and then bring him into bed. Okay, coming up. We go from that to this, what I'm about to talk about. What do universal screenings for mental health look like for students?
Wow, that really
and
speaks
for
to
Ryan.
Yeah.
That's in 30 minutes. Plus why Adam Sandler looked beat up on his latest morning show appearance. That's in the Cheer Report in a moment. Let's get into some what's trending this hour, though, right now. Trans girls would be barred from competing in Ohio school or college sports under a bill passed by the House GOP. People would also be able to accuse student athletes of being trans under the bill. Under the legislation, students would have to prove their gender by having a doctor certify their genitals. Let's move on to Apple, who made a lot of announcements today.
Oh, they did? Well, yeah it's one of their WDCs or whatever they're called.
They revealed their new safety check feature in iOS 16 intended to help those in abusive relationships. Do we have the clip?
Oh,
here we
I
go.
Had no clue there was a clip.
Yeah, you know what? It's let me.
Yeah, do it in your
let
way.
Let me translate.
Sure, I found a hack to this.
I found the hack. If it loads, we're not even in Mercury.
Wow,
retrograde.
This is not the hack.
It's literally still loading. I actually really
just
want to play
what
this
they said then.
Well, they said that, you know, a lot of couples have their phones shared together, right? Like they have the settings shared. Well,
really?
If you
who
are,
does that? That's already abusive.
Yeah, I mean, lack of boundaries.
Like, yeah.
But what you could do is right away, if there's an issue, you can stop sharing location, you can reset privacy permissions and access to your messages. So it might be you've shared things or maybe they have access to your password or something like that, which, yeah, I agree. I don't have that with my current partner and previous partners.
Share
never have that.
Passwords?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like I maybe if we lived together, it'd be a bit different, but... you know, a lot of people do this, though. I mean, I share a location sometimes just out of just safety. But if you're in a sticky situation, I just think this is great that they have this in a way for you to get support, possibly.
Did you describe being in an abusive relationship as a sticky situation?
It could be everything from a sketchy situation, sticky situation, to more extreme.
I hate that.
The sticky situation
phrase?
Okay.
It's not a good
one. Like the word moist.
Yeah, but it reminds me of like, oh, I got syrup on my hands. That's a sticky situation. not getting like an abusive relationship. Like, that's different.
Point taken. All right, finally, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia voiced his support today for raising the age to 21 for purchasing semi-automatic weapons and questioned why people need to own high-powered AR-15 style weapons, putting him at odds with Republicans who are resisting these types of restrictions on access to firearms. He said, "I never thought I had a need for that type of high-capacity automatic weapon." He told that to CNN. "I like to shoot. I like to go out and hunt. I like to go out sports shooting. I do all that, but I've never felt I needed something of that magnitude." So maybe Joe Manchin will be on the right side of history for this.
Yeah, when as soon as like Mercury retrograde is out of retrograde, he's like acting right.
That was what's trending this hour, what's happening in entertainment news.
Ooh, let's talk Adam Sandler. Wow, that was like really embarrassing. My voice is just cracking. So he went on Good Morning America with a black eye.
Oh.
And you will not believe what happened. It's time for the T-Report, those pop culture stories trending right now. So Adam Sandler went on live television with a noticeable shiner on his left eye. He starts off by saying, "This is something I have to discuss, right?" And here is what he had to say.
"This is something I have to discuss, right? I was in bed in the middle of the night. You know how they tuck in your sheets at the bottom? Somebody tucked in the sheets too much. I had my phone in the middle of the bed. I kicked my feet up to untuck it. The phone went flying, hit me in the head. I refused to acknowledge it. I felt blood. I said, there's something going on, but I got to sleep. Nothing cool about this thing. It looks so cool. When I'm on the streets of New York, I see people going, oh, okay. He likes to fight that guy. I'm like, it was a bed accident."
Do you know how many times I have dropped my phone on my face? This is so relatable.
Wait, how did you do that?
Oh, my God. You know, if I'm just like laying down and I'm looking up and, you know, sometimes my hands just get weak.
Or
and I just dropped my phone on my face.
What are you looking at? Their hands getting weak.
Well, don't look on Twitter.
You know, my boyfriend, that happens to him too. He falls asleep while reading every night. And I'm like,
Who are you dating, Mr. Rogers?
And then the other night.
Does he have a cardigan on too?
No, it's not an actual book. It's his phone. He's reading or looking at his phone. That's how he falls asleep, which I don't like. But the other night.
Couples
like,
therapy.
The other night, I'm falling asleep, you know, I have my head on his shoulder, and then the phone falls, and I'm like, that could have fallen on me.
It should have. Al, that's your T-Report. Your pop culture story is trending right now. We have more coming up next hour, so stick around for that. Actually, we are talking. I got to find a story. So you'll find out up next.
Okay. Coming up after this, we have the Washington Blade joining us to talk about LGBTQ laws and rights around the world. This author spoke exclusively to the U.S. Envoy for Global LGBTQ Rights. I find this really interesting. So more about that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
The special U.S. Envoy for the promotion of LGBTQ rights abroad recently spoke to the Washington Blade about what is being done to support communities internationally. And we wanted to get the author of this article on to talk more about this because I'm just fascinated by what the U.S. is doing to push these things forward, considering where we're at, too, right? With supporting the community. Well, Michael Lavers joins us right now, the international news editor of the Washington Blade. Great having you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me again. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah. Now, as Pride hits worldwide, are countries making announcements to support the community? Are we seeing things progress?
Yeah. I mean, internationally, it's always very interesting, and it depends on which country you look at. Certainly, there are many countries in the world where this discussion is not even possible at this moment. Being LGBT is actually illegal, and in some countries, it's actually punishable by death. So we're not talking about those countries. And I'm thinking like Saudi Arabia, Iran, some other countries in the region. But what we're talking about here with Jessica Stern, the special envoy, is countries where the governments might be more receptive to this issue, or they're actually proactively pushing LGBTQ rights. So Canada is one example. There's many countries in South America, in Latin America, Europe. And so, yeah, it really depends on where you're looking at, but there is a large number of countries where LGBTQ issues are certainly advancing. And that's what she's doing. And that's what the administration is trying to support through this work.
Yeah, and I guess when we're talking about progress, how quickly is progress happening? Or is it happening? Is it going slower in some spaces than others?
Yeah, again, it really depends on the country in which you're looking. So, for example, I was in Chile back in March on assignment, and one of the things that happened when I was in Chile was their marriage equality law took effect, and it was a decade-long battle to get this through the country's Congress. It finally happened last year, and the law that extended marriage and adoption rights to same-sex couples took effect on March 10th of this year. And again, I was actually in Chile when that happened. So that's one very concrete example. Switzerland's same-sex marriage law will take effect in July. So that's another example. And it's not only just same-sex marriage, of course. Countries like Argentina, some countries in Europe have really gone a long way to legally recognize transgender and intersex folks. So they're able to, for example, legally change their gender identity without having to undergo surgery. So you're seeing that in some countries as well. But it really just depends on the specific country. But there is certainly real significant progress happening in many countries around the world, that should be recognized and celebrated.
Yeah, definitely. And what is Jessica Stern specifically doing, who is the special U.S. envoy for LGBTQ rights? How much does she have in terms of like an ability to encourage these countries to push things forward? And what is she doing with the State Department as well? Because it seems like there were some recent announcements too.
Right. Basically, she's the very public face of the Biden administration's overall efforts to support LGBTQ rights as far as part of U.S. foreign policy. She was appointed by the president just about a year ago, and she's really, very simply, she's really like the point person in the administration on LGBTQ issues abroad. She was the executive director of a group called Outright Action International for more than a decade. So she really brings a lot of experience to this work. And so one of the things that she was very involved with was the State Department's decision earlier this year to start offering passports with X gender markers. And so obviously that has a real implication for transgender and intersex folks. The one thing she more recently talked with me about was the public acknowledgement that the efforts to support LGBTQ rights abroad now includes marriage equality in countries where activists in those particular countries say that such a thing is possible, either through laws or through the judicial process. And so she's very actively engaged with activists around the world who might be pushing such an issue or might be pushing transgender rights or intersex recognition. So she really takes her cue from the activists. But again, she's the real public face of the administration's efforts to champion or to promote LGBTQ mm-hmm. rights abroad. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what she does.
Okay, well, thank you for your coverage of this and breaking it all down. It's obviously so important. That was Michael Lavers, the international news editor of The Washington Blade. Hope to have you back soon.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Okay. We actually were walking Pride next to them. Washington Blade. There you go.
Well, it was the LA Blade.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're all the same family.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah,
all right, what is coming up next, Ryan?
Well, let's talk the warning signs that can be detected sooner through universal screenings for students' mental health. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Well, it seems as we talk about gun control at schools and gun safety, a lot of people are talking about mental health. That's the buzzword phrase these days. So could there be any sort of universal screening for student mental health that can flag if something like this could happen, if a student could end up committing a violent crime? Well, a professor wrote about this in theconversation.com, and we wanted to bring him on today. Thanks for being here. This is Nathaniel Von Der Emsey. From the University of South Florida. Thanks for joining us.
I just call him Nate.
Yeah, Nate works great.
Professor Nate, wait, you have a very, where are you from originally? Because you just sounded like you came out of here from the U.S. Professor Nate.
Yeah, well, Ohio, but Germany before that.
Well, where's that Ohio name from?
It's from Germany.
There you go. Okay, thank you. So I'm not so crazy.
You didn't get the Germany from Von Der.
Yes. So let's talk about more seriously your article, because I found it really interesting. As everyone's trying to figure out some sort of solution here or where we go moving forward, you're looking at how we can support students' mental health. So what are you looking at right now?
Well, I think when we're having this kind of debate, what really gets missed when we're talking about solutions for keeping kids safe in schools is this idea of supporting students' mental health before severe problems exist. When we're talking a lot about kind of these reactionary measures after some horrific massacre occurs, I think of these as adult reactions to child problems. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to think about it from a child perspective, and how can we recognize those signs for help, those calling out signs of distress, and getting kids support before bad things happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, this problematic approach when it comes to discipline referrals are really impacting Black and Brown students the most. In what ways are we seeing that happen?
Well, that's exactly it. When we're thinking about it, like, let's say a typical classroom of 20 or 30 kids, on average, we know about 5 or 6 of those kids are going to need some kind of help. And yet, who's getting kind of referred? It's really the kids that might be easily observed to be disruptive. And fortunately, for many educators, that are mostly Black and Brown boys. So these kinds of disproportionality in the referrals are really obscuring kind of a more broader need for mental health services, in addition to be highly damaging for students that are referred for those discipline referrals and don't get the help that they need.
And so would teachers be given, you know, this, I guess, like, would it be in their hands? Because as you mentioned here, teachers rarely receive training in mental and behavioral health, and that'd be a huge responsibility.
Yeah, I think it's a whole school responsibility first and foremost.
Yeah.
When I think of mental health and social emotional learning, this is not separate from academics and reading and math and writing. There's no kind of two parts of a kid, right? The academic side and the social emotional side. If you want to get to the academics, you have to be able to support a child's emotional development, their social development, and to really ensure those kind of long-term outcomes. Now, that being said, you know, we have to take a lot of care for not putting one more thing on a very busy teacher's plate. And so when we're thinking about kind of how do we use these data in a quick, efficient manner, it has to be both the teacher voice as well as the student self-report. That student voice is just absolutely critical. In some of our early research now, we've seen huge differences between teacher and student self-report. And it's really been eye-opening for the schools to say, whoa, there's a ton of kids that have these emotional concerns that never would have been on our radar.
So I guess for me, I'm wondering, what are the flags that we should be looking for, you know, when it comes to this conversation?
Well, I mean, if you're looking for flags, you're already too late. And ultimately, we have to take a more proactive stance to this. I think there's been a lot of discussions around kind of red flag laws. What does that mean for folks experiencing some kind of significant distress? I mean, ultimately, by the time it reaches that level of need, that person needs immediate help. And what we're advocating for is a completely shift in the conversation to, hey, let's be more proactive. Let's take a prevention type of approach that's really gonna catch kids that need help early. I think there's one really important kind of idea here that schools need to consider, and that's the idea that not only are we looking for signs of psychological distress, but also those kind of quiet kids in the back of the classroom that just aren't displaying the pro-social emotional coping skills we know they need.
And then giving them more support, basically. I mean, schools can barely support their students in general.
Well, yeah, and you bring up a really great point there as well. When we're talking about kind of screening approaches, it's not that every kid that comes up on a screener is going to need a one-to-one therapist 30 minutes a day, right? Rather, these kinds of data starts a conversation at the school level. What is that school's priority for that year? what kind of school level, universal, and classroom levels of sports that we can put in place as a result of these kinds of information. And that's where we start, rather than this reactive approach on a one-by-one or case-by-case basis.
Okay, well, that was Professor Date, if you don't mind me calling you that, Professor of School Psychology at the University of South Florida. We really appreciate it. And go check out that article. It's really a great one, theconversation.com. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, well, next up, do you ever regret sending that text message? I know, Ryan, you probably have had those regrets. Well, there could be a solution. We bring you that next.
I don't regret a thing.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Have you ever sent a text message that you regret sending? This is to everyone listening and to you, Ryan.
Well, I have. I've done it once.
Only once?
No, because this one was pretty embarrassing. I've told this story over the airways before. It was like a group chat that I was in with my coworkers.
And you did something inappropriate?
No,
you didn't pull a Jeffrey, what's her name?
I didn't do what? Oh, my God. That sounded awful. That is not what I did. I was using the bathroom.
I was texting.
And I accidentally sent a voice message of me farting to the group chat. It happened.
It still makes me laugh.
It did happen. And I had to play it off like I did not do that. But then everyone was like, did you just send us a voice message of you farting? And yeah. True story.
There you go.
It happened. I'm admitting it here. I now feel lighter.
They'll sell it to
gas and truth.
They'll sell it to New York Post in the future.
It happens to everyone.
Listen to what Ryan Mitchell did over text.
It happens to everyone.
Well, guess what? Apple has just announced that you will be able to unsend messages in their upcoming iOS 16 update. Okay? So they said that they're determined to make iMessage competitive to WhatsApp, whatever, and other places. They added edit and an undo send as an addition. That is so needed, right? My hope, though, this is like where it could get sketchy. What if someone actually sent something and like you could use it against them, right? Because it was bad. And then they just edit it. But I guess it will say edit. So they'll be like, yeah. I saw you did something.
But why? Will it give a notification that it's been deleted?
I think it's similar to WhatsApp where it says deleted and all that.
See, what's the point of that? Because then it's
putting
then
you
on the
spot. Well, then you could say, I said something, I misspoke, or I sent something to you that was supposed to be for someone else.
If you're deleting it, you're trying to erase it from existence. So yeah. I don't want you to know that. Like, that's how Instagram does it, where Instagram literally, once you delete a message, it sends them, the person that you're deleting the message to, it sends them a notification that someone just like, took a message back. Why are you snitching on me? That is so rude. So rude.
Well, listen, I think that sometimes you make a mistake or, yeah, you could send something that was supposed to be for someone else. So why not be able to edit it or just delete it? You don't need to see that.
It was never meant
for you.
Who knew Apple would come up with an edit button before Twitter did?
Who knew? We're finally seeing the day. We'll be able to tell our kids we knew the day when you sent something and you couldn't get it back. It was out there and it was there permanently. That will be the things we tell our kids we experienced.
Wow. Did you hear that noise, Producer Shelby? It was a bombing. That joke bombed.
No, but that's true. You know, like back in the day, every generation has their thing. I think at a certain point, not my parents, but like grandparents was like, I used to walk to school.
Which, by the way,
blah, blah, blah.
We do have a new producer, but she's not ready to
get on
the
mic yet. She's
already running away. Oh, you're ready? Oh, period. What do you have to say? Get on that yellow mic. What do you have
to
say?
I thought this one was broken.
No?
No.
Liar. See,
I didn't say it was broken. I said I didn't want to sit next to you. The orange one is broken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have to wrap. Do you have anything to say?
Say hi.
I was just going to say I'm not having kids, so I won't have anything fun like that.
Well, what about your cousins or nieces and nephews?
They're all back in Ohio.
So you're just never going to talk to them again?
Never going back.
I'm on my own.
I hate them too.
Okay. After this, why Pizza Hut is being canceled by the people who love them the most, the GOP. Next.
Oh, wow.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Okay, welcome back to the show and stick around for more music here on Channel Q. But right now, let's get into some more show. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're getting into Pride fashion. And are some brands doing it right or are all brands just going cringy?
And we're going to talk about what Shira's boyfriend told her when she tried to pick Pride outfits.
Totally. And also, what would you do if you saw Drake at the airport? What happened to these One fans? In the Tea Report in a moment. First, let's get into some what's trending this hour, though, right now. According to supporters of a new Pizza Hut boycott, the restaurant chain is grooming pre-K kids into a gay lifestyle through their literacy program that the company supports. So this program is called Book It. It's a free reading incentive program for pre-K through sixth grade classrooms. And parents and homeschool families sponsored by the pizza chain use it. They are recommending two books on the LGBTQ community on their website in light of celebrating Pride Month, including Big Wig and Be Amazing, A History of Pride. Right? Doesn't seem like that should be bad. Well, now there's a boycott Pizza Hut hashtag going around Twitter. How dare they put these books in front of our youth?
Remember when Pizza Hut used to do those book club things, and you can get like a little small pizza if you read a certain amount of books, and you get like to take it over to Pizza Hut?
I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
I didn't do that in Canada.
That's literally what this is.
Well, good to know. Another thing I missed while living in Canada.
I don't think Pizza Hut was around in the 1800s when you were growing up.
Back in my day when you couldn't delete text messages. Now, today, Governor Ron DeSantis signed SB 1028, creating the Fairness in Women's Sports Act and preserving fair opportunities for female athletes to demonstrate their strength, skills, and abilities in athletic competition.
First of all, it's not a message to anything other than saying we're going to protect fairness in women's sports. We believe that it's important to have integrity in the competition, and we think it's important that they're able to compete on a level playing field. And, you've seen what's happened when you don't have that.
Yeah, the bill specifies that an athletic team or sport that is designated for females, women, and girls may not be open to students of the male sex based on the student's biological sex listed on the student's official birth certificate at the time of birth. Moving on to more stuff coming out of Florida, several Tampa Bay Rays players refused to wear the team's rainbow-colored logo on their uniforms for Saturday's 16th annual Pride Night. Rays pitcher Jason Adam chose not to wear the logo. He said that it was a faith-based decision, according to the Times.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was what's trending this hour, what's happening in entertainment news.
Oh my God, imagine just sitting in the airport, minding your business, and then you see the sexy man that is Drake enter into the airport. And guess what he did? He decided to take a shot with these women. It's time for the Tea Report. Those pop culture stories trending right now. I would freak out. That is wild.
I think if I was there and I was alone and like, and there's not a lot of people there and Drake's just there, I would just be like, should I keep to myself or say hi? Not sure.
Yeah, well, a pair of friends had reportedly been indulging in happy hour at a local eatery when they noticed none other than Drake had entered the building. Basically, he initially declined an offer from the ladies to buy him a drink, explaining he was on his way to the airport, but doubled back and joined them for a round on him instead. The woman who had actually captured the moment on camera, told TMZ that while she initially had asked the bartender for a shot of Jack, basically Drake took it up a notch after she stopped filming and ordered her a Johnny Walker, which everything. And so I guess a user identifying as the lady's sister who was a part of, sitting there and actually experiencing this with her, shared the clip. She said, I'm legit screaming because I love that man and I don't know how she kept her composure. I'm such a fangirl for him.
I mean, she was pretty chill. And I'm amazed. He was very cool, too. What a moment.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to buy y'all some drinks, I love that for him.
Oh, yeah. It makes me like him a bit more. I mean, he's been questionable sometimes in the past. But he's a Canadian, and he's a nice Jewish boy from Canada.
Well, I mean, it's Drake. When is he not questionable?
I don't know.
I think he has a gambling problem. That's another time for another. That's another discussion for another time.
There you go.
But I think he does have a gambling problem. We can talk about it.
Oh, yeah. He was on his private flight, that video of him doing that gambling stuff.
Yeah, but I think he's, like, really bad.
Okay. Well, we could discuss that another time.
Wishing him the best of luck,
It went from really high to really low.
I do think he has a gambling problem.
Well, coming up next.
That's your Tea Report.
Why Pride merch is so cringy. Is it possible to do it right? We're going there next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
It's nothing new that the Pride merch and fashion can be very cringy to many people, including what all these brands release, you know, from Target to Walmart to where else have you seen stuff? I mean, everywhere. I feel like everyone has.
Amazon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, speaking of which, I was an Amazon girl in terms of when it came to our Pride.
I didn't really
work out for me.
Why didn't it work out? What happened?
I got some sort of metallic space agey outfit. I thought it was really cute. Unfortunately, a bit too tight for me. And it would have been just very uncomfortable. So I opted for just some cute shorts and the Channel Key t-shirt. Keep it easy breezy.
You made it into a crop.
You know what? The promo team was doing it, and I liked the way it looked on her. I said, you know, I want to make it cute and sexy. I don't want like a baggy, slouchy. You know what? I do feel like I see a lot of people wearing not a lot, and so I don't need to do that, but I do want to show off some skin.
9 times out of 10, a lot of queer folks, because that's what they're allowed to
do. Queer. So am I not allowed to show some skin?
You're allowed to do whatever you want.
I feel like I want to look cute and sexy, too.
You have autonomy of your body.
I know. I think so. I believe
I do think sometimes straight people, cishet people specifically, end up going a little tacky.
Yeah, trying too hard.
And trying too hard.
Was I trying too hard?
Well, when do
I was
you
literally
not try too hard?
Okay. Well, there you go. See, if typically you try too hard and you try too hard to Pride, at least like I'm consistent.
I'm so happy you found the bright side of things, as usual.
You know.
I just think when you're thinking of corporations, like big corporations, of course, if they don't have a queer person in the room, which normally it seems like they don't because they come up with some of the worst things I've ever seen. I know you all already spoke about the Burger King with the two tops and the two bottoms of the burger sandwiches. Disgusting, even though they kind of awkwardly look delicious. I would love to have two sesame sun.
I kind of
want to
try it.
Two tops... that is not a party. If they were in, if they actually knew what West Hollywood was, two tops is not a party.
They would know that there needs to be a top and a bottom.
And two bottoms is most definitely not a party. Depending on some people, you never know. If I mean, that's your thing. Go for it. But I just think that anytime there's moments where you see just tacky merch or food companies doing things like making queer folks into food, it's just all bad ideas. It's never good. And it's just, it takes, all you have to do is just... you can literally, even if you don't have a queer person working for you, like, full-time, consult and hire someone to come in and actually tell you this is what works, this is what doesn't, because you're profiting off of already a marginalized community who is fighting for their lives on a daily basis through anti-LGBTQ legislation that we're seeing constantly. And so the fact that you want to take part in this to show that your company is something special and doing a part of it and changing your Avies to a rainbow flag... and are making a pride campaign out of food or some stupid crap. It just feels like, what are you truly doing this for? What do you actually want to say? How are you taking part in it? And are you secretly giving money to anti-LGBTQ folks who are actually, you know, hurting our lives? What, like, what's the real truth here? And for me, it's just not about just wearing a Love is Love shirt. It's so much more than that.
Definitely. I don't get how these companies don't have some of that representation. And they're like, when you're creating a brand or a collection around a community, wouldn't you have that community in there creating that? I don't get it.
Well, Producer Shelby, you know, as the other queer person in the room, thank you so much for being here. I get exhausted
sometimes.
So exhausted.
This is a historic moment having a queer producer.
Thank God.
I know. How does it feel to you when you see, like, awful Pride merch in during this time?
Well, one thing that was really frustrating for me, I used to work at Target for a while.
Yeah.
So the Pride collection comes out in June and, you know, you're supposed to wear red as your uniform. And once the collection came out, they said, okay, Fridays you can wear like a Pride thing if you want. Mm-hmm. But I think it's funny that it was never the queer people that were wearing the Pride things. It was this like straight management. And I'm like, see, this is not...
because we're getting excited. We're like, come on, now I get to support the community.
Yeah, and like this was not made for you. And I actually brought that up with one of my managers because I was just so frustrated to see that like they were making it about them, and I'm just like, this was not made for you, this month is not for you to parade around a rainbow. So it's very frustrating. But also, how do you do rainbow and it not be tacky?
No, I mean, I think that's the
rainbows
thing,
and
right?
Unicorns are the best.
Mm,
I've that, always liked a good unicorn. Sorry, that's my favorite thing.
Of course, as a cis straight woman here, of that's on brand. I think
as a child, I also
rainbows
loved
are
unicorns.
Pretty tacky though. Like yeah. even when I'm thinking of like when I'm hosting Pride, like I wanted to wear color, but I wanted yeah. to stay as far away as possible from rainbows.
Yeah,
and I get it. Like it represents something, but oftentimes the rainbow flag, if it's not the progress flag, yeah. I don't want to see it because yep. that flag doesn't represent. Me. That flag doesn't feel like me. I identify as queer. And if I don't feel already as someone who can exist in a space when I'm seeing anything but rainbows, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's not even, you'd even go a step further to get the actual flag that could be representative of me and the people that look like me. And so for me, it's just, it always feels bare minimum during around this time. It's yeah. just, I don't know what else to do because there are, I will say,
yeah.
there are some companies that do kind of like get it right
who
sometimes.
Does it right?
Like, I just feel like, you know, I heard like a friend of mine, he just got, well, they just got a Bratz did like,
The
Bratz
that.
Doll, oh, yeah. and they were like lesbian dolls. Mm-hmm. And like, it's also what we're talking about here, as in like, they're a company, a big company trying to do something that's just deeming, oh, these are lesbian dolls.
they, but yeah, like, people
it
love
also
these.
Is kind of like very cute.
Yes.
Like, and so like, I can exist in the middle gray area of being like, this also makes me feel like happy because of the nostalgia of what it is. Mm-hmm. But then also talk about, well, hey, I hope this company is also doing something behind the scenes and not only just yeah. naming their doll a lesbian yeah. for the month.
Yeah, and then was, hating lesbians.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, if you're going to buy, like, Pride merch, like, get it from a queer artist, like a
yes.
queer maker.
Yes.
Don't buy it from corporations yeah. who you don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
And unfortunately, though, when it's the 24 hours before Pride and you're like,
no excuses, Shira. Always
I didn't end up wearing that t-shirt.
Boycott
and
Amazon.
My boyfriend did not end up wearing that shirt. What do I do with it now? Do I give it?
No, keep it.
I think I need to keep it.
Keep it.
But yeah, it's one of those things like this was like, you're, you know,
were you going to burn it? Were you not going to say
gay?
I'm going
to burn it.
you're going to just burn it.
I was going to donate it. I don't throw away my clothes. I donate them.
Yeah.
So that someone can find it and say, you know what? This is the shirt I was looking for. But you know what? When you're busy, as we knew, like last week was crazy busy for work. And then you're like, shoot, Pride's coming up. Like, and no offense to me, like, I don't have a lot of colorful clothes these days for some reason. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
right. I need to add more color to my wardrobe. And so I was that person on Amazon being like, you know, because I need a 24-hour. Can you, you know, you can't find independent companies like that will send it to you overnight.
But also, here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, showing up in something festive feels fun. It looks really nice. It adds to the overall celebration. Yeah. But I think oftentimes we get lost
in that
celebration.
Totally.
Forget what Pride actually means. It started as a protest. It started as a moment that was very anti-capitalist.
Yep.
I mean, Sylvia Riviera, who was a leader in this movement, literally hated the fact that it was starting to become more capitalist as it was going. I mean, her last interview before she died in 2001 was about the fact that Pride was nothing but capitalism now, and how big mm-hmm. businesses were, you know, capitalizing and benefiting
yeah.
from this. And so we really have to be honest with ourselves about when we're entering into the season, what are we doing? Who are we supporting when it comes to these big businesses? And are they doing enough?
Hey,
and I will say, not to throw this out there, I mean, they don't pay us, but like, I love, Svetka Vodka? What is it called?
Svetka Vodka?
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I liked it. So I saw their float.
Uh-huh.
And their Pride campaign float was bomb. Like, mm-hmm. I loved it. It was really, it was talking about, like, flavors of all colors and all but it was like, it felt genuine. It felt like, oh, y'all got some queer folks on that team, like, putting
this
that together.
This is fun.
Yeah, it was really special to see.
Okay, something to think about.
How do you say the vodka name again? I don't drink vodka.
Svetka? You don't drink vodka, yeah.
I don't drink vodka. That's gross.
I do.
That is true.
Really? I'm so sorry, producers.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, next up on the show, it seems like the Royals have a bad boy on their hands.
What? Please get out of here.
Prince Louis was acting out, and Ryan has some recommendations for the.
You hear that
oh
sound?
Oh my god! For what's her name? What's the mom?
Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
Wow.
Kate Middleton. So Ryan has some parenting tips.
Ryan recommends beat
yes.
your kids.
Oh my god.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Oh my God, let's talk the Queen's Jubilee, darling. Welcome to Welcome back to the Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan, and we're talking the Queen's Jubilee. God, I think that's pretty good, gosh darn it, huh? Is that good? No, it's awful.
So.
It's pretty awful. I mean, I don't think I can really offend like European white people. Sorry, y'all started colonizing.
You know what?
Please. Yeah, true. But they're like African, and
they're gonna be like,
that's still a part of colonization. But are we talking about Prince Louis? Is that his name?
Louis.
Either way, he needs a spanking.
Oh.
He was at the Queen's Jubilee showing out. The Kate Middleton and the one that's bald, his daddy. He basically, you know, what's his name? Louis.
I always mix up all the names. Prince Louis is the baby.
He's
the
baby.
Youngest.
He has no manners. He was basically hitting his mama.
He
was acting out. He's 4 years old, if you wanted to know. He's past his terrible twos. And clearly, it seems like he may be a little bit of a spoiled brizette. What do we think here? Could they have done anything? Because it seems like Kate Middleton was struggling.
It was awkward.
It looked like
that.
It's like one of those things. Think about if you're on an airplane and you're sitting next to some mom who's really just trying to get a hold of their child.
Yeah, and also she's doing it with like a spotlight on her. So she knows she's being recorded by everyone and their mom.
But
so that
there
makes
was a
it
piece
even harder.
That we did not see. They were covered from the legs down. So she literally could have just pinched his little arm.
Yeah,
a little
but then
bit
you
something.
See someone else. Maybe there's a camera. I don't know. Up from above, right? A drone or some sort of helicopter seeing her squeezing and then she gets all
I'm not used to that. He ain't too young for a good little behind whooping.
We've talked about this on the show before. We've talked about if, you know, it's
just
right or wrong or, you know.
I'm not talking about actually abusing him, but I
don't
know
if someone
if
a child is at that level and you can't contain that
sure,
child.
You didn't get no whoopings.
Got some soap in my mouth,
and
once,
that's the problem.
And
that's why you're the way you are.
Okay,
if you would have got a whooping every once
in
a while,
I'm proud of who I am.
Maybe I didn't say you shouldn't be.
No, you said that maybe I'd be better or something if I got some whoopings.
That's true.
I don't think so.
There has to be some form of discipline, right? And it seems like because he's a royal, doesn't seem like there's any discipline there. Because
the fact that
he was acting like that was wild to watch.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine. If I was four, no matter what, that's just not happening.
There's obviously an issue. Listen, she has two other kids that don't act like this, so there's something happening.
We don't know how them kids act.
It doesn't seem like when they were younger, they were in front of the camera, and we didn't see something like this happening. But now, I mean, he's getting media attention. He obviously notices.
He was in a public place. That's the only time he's getting media attention.
Yeah,
photos that they take and put it out there.
He's trying to get attention. Also, I wonder what a child psychologist would say. Like the last child, you know, you don't get as much attention as the first two children.
Reading too much into it. You gotta train up a child in the ways that, you know, there's a little bit of discipline so they don't act out in public like that. And I'm actually quite shocked that this is the same family who asked how dark Meghan Markle's son was going to be and then how they wanted that child to be so disciplined just because they were black.
They mentioned discipline with that? I know they mentioned them, obviously.
But I mean, that comes with that. You want your child to fit into a regiment that they're used to.
Well,
so if you're gonna have Prince Louis out here smacking Kate Middleton in the mouth, is that a part of the royal regimen?
Here's the thing. The queen is old, and I think she used to also be much more like the one kind of...
The queen's not the parent.
Well...
She's barely staying on kicking her
I know. That's the thing, but I think that according to... Not like I'm close to the royal family. I think the queen really led...
Insider alert.
led it and was very, actually, I think, strict. And so it caused everyone to be really on top of their game.
She watches one season of The Crown.
But then,
and thinks she knows the entire family.
But then it seems like now she's really old and everyone's kind of doing their thing. I do think, though, I'm not a mom, so I feel like it's easier said than done to say, oh, why don't you discipline your kid? I think that obviously there's something here and I'm sure they'll be dealing with it, including, unfortunately, after all these headlines. But then imagine, this is what the sucky part on the other side of it. Imagine now, one, as you get older, either he's going to think it's funny, right? Or he might be completely embarrassed by it, that the whole world was doing that. Or it gives him more attention and then it enables him to continue being bad, right? And then as a mom, that's kind of embarrassing too. So I hope they get it together, not just for themselves, but for everyone else, so we don't have to have these conversations.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you see more people in the media for reasons that are more negative than other times because of a lack of discipline. And I'm just going to put it out there. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't.
So get it together now. Take care of your kid now.
Before he becomes an awful human. That's... He probably already is, spoiled brat.
Well, it is, you know, the royal family. I'm pretty sure they are getting what they want.
He's a spoiled brat.
Maybe he needs to hang out with the other side, the Californians now.
Or maybe he needs to, maybe he needs a nice little black nanny, and she'll get him right together. That's why they were scared about Meghan Markle coming up in that house and the grandmother being up in that little royal house, because there would have been discipline.
Ryan, you should discipline. You should start a company.
You want me to? You want me to start a nanny company? You think all I'm worth is being a nanny?
I'm just you diversify your income.
It's already there.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
What would you do if you had a family member running for office and you didn't like them and you wanted to tell everyone not to vote for them?
Oh my God, that was literally the exact same situation when I was about like 12 when Barack Obama, my cousin, was running for president. I did not want him to win.
That's sad.
I wanted our privacy.
Oh, that makes sense.
So why is that sad?
All right, well, now that I know the story behind it.
Thanks.
I just thought you didn't want to support him.
That too.
But, you know, but it seems like he was a decent guy.
We fought for a while there. He wasn't my favorite uncle.
Maybe because he gave you a little discipline when you were younger.
No, actually, I liked that.
Oh, my God. So
Uncle Barack disciplining me?
All right. Well, this has gone totally off the deep end. Actually, this question about how you would deal with a family member running is something we found on Slate.com. You know, this person said that their sibling was actually running and that their sibling is toxic, narcissistic, and controlling, codependent.
Sounds just like a politician.
Who is, estranged from several people in our extended family.
Let's guess. Do you want to guess who the politician is? Let's play the game of guess that politician. Read the list and see what else. Read more details.
They are also emotionally and verbally abusive to their spouse and extended family. Including our aged father. While we were moving Dad into assisted living, we discovered they had secretly changed his estate planning documents.
Joe Manchin.
To give themselves complete control. I mean, wouldn't you say Mitch McConnell?
Who's the one that just lost in the wheelchair?
Oh, definitely Cawthorn. Madison Cawthorn.
Madison Cawthorn.
This is definitely a Madison Cawthorn story.
Yeah.
No, I'm letting you all know, this does not report that it's Madison Cawthorn or any of the people we mentioned.
I already said we were playing. Play that! You know.
However, the person who did answer the advisor here in this column, you know, or the person who gives advice, yeah, advisor, said... I was thinking advisor like a company. They said that it's a little similar to that of Arizona Representative Paul Gosar, who's actually, I didn't realize this. He had six siblings speak out against his reelection campaign. And
yes.
It got a lot of press.
Oh my God, I was
and
just
was
about
re-elected.
To.
It didn't even matter.
I was just about to bring him up, actually, because I remember his siblings, they came out publicly, like did a whole commercial for it in these creepy sweaters. They all look like they have issues, if I'm being quite honest. So, hey, pot, meet kettle. But, yeah, this is wild. For me, I would tell everyone. I would say something. Because politically, there's too much going on for you to sit back and honestly be complicit in the fact that your person that you know is awful and only has, like, is an evil politician, will be an evil person or altogether. You have kind of a duty at that point. Right?
Yeah, if you just sit back and you let it happen, you'd be complicit in a way. Well, it kind of reminds me of, you know,
Trump.
You're
too busy writing into Slate.com instead of actually doing something. Twitter.
Maybe you could have gotten this published in Slate, and look at that. You could have gotten some press.
No, it's not about the press here. It's about doing something
right.
Well,
not press,
right.
But like attention to go to the cause. Well, it reminds me of Trump, Mary Trump. Oh, that's not the same thing?
It's not the same thing because she's also awful.
She was trying to sell
she's
something.
She's also awful. And for me, I remember when that came out, when she was doing interviews on The View talking about she was, you know, writing about the family secrets and all that stuff. It's just something about that that feels a little iffy for me.
Because if she was just saying it and saying, I'm coming out versus selling a whole book.
Why she didn't come out when Trump was in New York and he was the big time New Yorker that he always has been? Why didn't she come out then? But in the midst of him actually having major power and doing what he did to this country, you know, I'm just saying, nah, Mary Trump can rot too.
All right. Well, thank you. That
she looks like an evangelist or something that takes mission trips.
All right, well, let us know at LGT Show what you think, how you would deal with this situation. Coming up next, what happened to this UFC fighter when he wore rainbow shorts to a match in honor of Pride? That and more next on What's Trending This Hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.